Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Chaplain Johnson of the Senate. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Chaplain Johnson.
Let's pray. And today I'm going to pray the words of the former U.S. Senate Chaplain Lloyd Ogilvie. God, we open our minds to receive your inspiration. Astound us with new insight and fresh ideas we would not conceive without your blessing. Help us to maintain unity in the midst of differing solutions to the problems that we must address together. Guide our decisions. And when the debate is ended and votes are counted, enable us to press on to the work ahead of us with unity. And again today, for this weekend, I pray for healthy rest, safety for travel, and life-giving time with friends and family. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, take the roll. Senator Emmerich.
Mr. President, 50 members are present.
Quorum being present, Senate's ready for business. Without objection, we'll go to order business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed on agriculture, livestock, and irrigation. We report that Senate Resolution 52 be adopted. Senator Mike Lang, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on energy and telecommunications. We report that Senate Bill 208 do pass. Senator Walt Sales, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on finance and claims. Report that Senate Bill 93 do pass. That Senate Bills 28, 224, and 417 do pass as amended. That House Bills 192, 212, 221, 222, 251, 267 be concurred in. Senator John Esp, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on highways and transportation. Report that Senate Bills 288 and 452 do pass, and that House Bill 320 be concurred in as amended. Senator Teresa Mazzella, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on judiciary. Report that Senate Bills 326 and 400 do pass. That Senate Bills 172, 256, 278, 308, 307, 313, and 325 do pass as amended. The Senate Joint Resolution do pass as amended. And then House Bill 38 be concurred in. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on local government. Report that Senate Bills 317, 319, 327, and 332 do pass. And the Senate Bills 301, 323, and 331 do pass as amended. Senator Chris Friedel, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection, the committee reports are adopted. That objection will go to order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, Office of the Governor, dear President Ellsworth, on Thursday, February 23, 2023, I signed the following bills. Senate Bill 45, McCamey, Senate Bill 62, Zolnikoff, Senate Bill 80, Fox, Senate Bill 102, Cuff. The bills have been delivered to the Secretary of State's office. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor. Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate the following actions. The following House bills were on their seat, read through several times and passed title and history agreed to, and are here transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 409, Regeer. House Bill 410, Lear. House Bill 412, Beatty. House Bill 417, Konauer. House Bill 419, Hinkle. House Bill 422, Falk. House Bill 433, Welch. House Bill 436, Sheldon Galloway. House Bill 437, Zolnikoff. House Joint Resolution 7, Malone. That is all, Mr. President. Signed, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will be on order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, 491 through 500 have been introduced, read first time and referred to committee. Senate Bill 501, House Bills 409, 410, 412, 417, 433, 436, 437, and House Joint Resolution 7 have been introduced and read. Senate Bills 451, 487 to 490 have been referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Senator Trevis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this announcements or introductions? Can I do that here?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. May be off the record and out of the journal for purposes of an introduction.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to introduce a homeschool class that my kids are a part of, Mrs. Rhodes Challenge 1 Homeschool Classical Conversations class from Great Falls.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Hertz.
Mr. President, maybe off the record now, the journal for a fundraising announcement.
You may.
Members of the committee, as I promised, I'm going to be passing around the basketball today, so get your checkbooks out and your wallets out. We need to raise some funds. Thank you.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I be off and out?
You may.
For an introduction. Today in the rafters, I have one of my esteemed colleagues from my Yellowstone County, County Commissioner Don Jones. Welcome.
Welcome to the Senate. That objection will be on order business number 7. First reading and second reading commitment of bills. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. Will Senator Friedel please take the chair?
Majority Leader Fitzpatrick.
Mr. Chairman, two motions here. First, I'd like to move Senate Bill 295 by Senator Gillespie. I'm going to move that one to the bottom of the board. We're waiting for an amendment.
With no objection, so moved.
And then I also am going to move Senate Bill 311 to the bottom of the board. We'll take that one last today.
With no objection, so moved. I found a version. Thank you. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you in consideration Senate Bill 286. Will the clerk read the title and history of the bill?
Senate Bill 286, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled comprising probate law increasing the value of estates capable of collection of personal property by affidavit to $100,000, and amending section.
Are there any amendments to the title of the bill as read? Or are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 286. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does arise and report after having had into consideration Senate Bill 286, it recommends the same do pass.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this bill does is it increases the threshold for allowing a person to use an affidavit during the probate process from $50,000 to $100,000. And before I go into the bill, just let me explain how this works. When you go through probate, what happens is that when a person dies, they have to probate their estate. And what that means is that there's a process in the court system where a personal representative is appointed, and then there's a notice to creditors. The personal representative gathers up the property, and then after a certain amount of time, the property is dispersed to the heirs. What we do in the state of Montana for small estates is we allow, instead of requiring a person to go through the long probate process, which from time to time can be expensive, we simply file this affidavit, which allows the estate to be closed and the assets to be distributed if it's under $50,000. This bill raises the threshold up to $100,000, and that's because now coming across situations where you could have a car or one single piece of property, and we're now requiring people to go through probate. So this is, I think, a way to speed up in the probate process for small estates and hopefully reduce some costs for people as well.
Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend Senate Bill 286 with Amendment SB 286-001-001, signed Senator Fitzpatrick.
What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I request that Senate Bill 286 be amended with Amendment 286.001.001 and request the amendment be posted and deemed read.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have a small change. What I'm doing on line 17 is I'm striking the word entire and I'm changing it to probate. And what this does is it actually makes this makes the affidavit that's used in the statute applicable actually to more situations. The way it works is if you collect all the property, it's $100,000, you have to use the affidavit. Now by limiting it down to probate property, we're going to have more people that will be able to use the estate. And just so everybody understands, there are certain property that can be classified as probate property and some that is non-probate property. You will often transfer things through death, distribution deeds, other types of things, and those are not considered part of the probate estate. So just request a green light on this one.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, Senator Fitzpatrick, would you care to close on your amendment? Senator does close on his amendment. The question now arises on the amendment of Senator Fitzpatrick on Senate Bill 286 be amended. As many of you are in favor of the motion, vote aye. Of those say no, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators have voted aye. The amendment does pass. Are there any further amendments on Senate Bill 286?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion on the original bill? Seeing none, Senator Fitzpatrick, do you care to close? Senator Fitzpatrick closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that this committee does rise and report on after under consideration Senate Bill 286 is amended once. It recommends the same do pass. All that are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. All say nay. Senator Heimball, has every member voted? Has everybody wished to change his or her vote? Clerk will vote, record vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators have voted aye. Senate Bill 286 has passed second reading. Members, you have before you Senate Bill 311. What is your pleasure, Senator Usher? Remove that one. Oh, excuse me. That was moved to the bottom. I apologize. Apologize, committee. Members, you have members of the committee, you have in front of you Senate Bill 150. What is your pleasure, Senator Lentz?
Do you want to read the bill, Mr. Chair?
Yes. I would love to
close. Senate Bill 150 introduced by Lentz, a bill for an act intended to act prohibiting a drug testing requirement in a treatment plan during a child abuse or neglect proceeding unless the court finds substance use contributed to the removal of the child from the home or contributes to the child remaining out of the home, and amending section.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 150. What is your pleasure, Senator Lentz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 150, it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Lentz.
So, members of the committee, Senate Bill 150 is a very simple bill in the sense that it only affects section of law that involves treatment plans in child protective services cases. So in those cases where you'll see on page 2 starting on line 13, and this is under the section of treatment plans, and I certainly can go over that if you wish, once the child is removed, there's an expectation of how that child would be brought back into the home. And so, but what this does on page 2, it says the treatment plan may not include a drug testing requirement unless the court finds the substance use of the parent or guardian contributed to the removal of the child from the home or contributes to the child remaining out of the home. The second part of that was contributed by the department, who felt like we had the initial removal, and if there was no drug use, contribute the reason for removal, but the department said, what if the ongoing investigation shows that there is drug use contributing that child not coming home? And so all it does is eliminate an unnecessary burden to the parent as part of this process, Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Lentz, would you care to close on your bill? The Senator has closed on his bill. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Lentz that when this committee does rise and report after having it under consideration, Senate Bill 150, it recommend do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those who oppose it, vote no. Has everybody voted? Senator Lynch? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators have voted aye. Senate Bill 150 has passed second reading. Committee members, you have before you Senate Bill 203. Would the clerk read the title and history of the bill?
Senate Bill 203, introduced by Bogner, a bill for an act entitled Act revising the law for the transfer of critical infrastructure and agricultural land, prohibiting the sale, lease, or rental of critical infrastructure or land used for agriculture production to foreign adversaries or corporations domiciled in foreign adversary nations, and providing definitions.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of this committee, you have now before you Senate Bill 203. What is your pleasure, Senator Bogner?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 203 that recommends the same to pass.
Senator Bogner.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 203 prohibits foreign adversarial nations and companies headquartered in there from purchasing ag production land or entering into contracts for critical infrastructure in the state. If done, the bill requires divestiture and moving on, yeah, that states that any nation, foreign adversarial nation that is headquartered, domiciled in those nations may not enter into those contracts. So who are those nations? Those nations are determined by an executive order that was passed in 2019 and were determined by the U.S. Secretary of Commerce. They are currently China, North Korea, Russia, Iran, Cuba, and Venezuelan regime. This is the federal government identifying our adversaries. The federal government determines foreign policy, and it's saying that we should not trust these countries, especially with our critical infrastructure. I hope you all agree, and we'll stand for questions.
Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend Senate Bill 203 with Amendment SB 203-002-001, signed Senator Molnar.
What is your pleasure, Senator Molnar?
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Bill 203 be amended with amendment number 203.002.001 and be posted and deemed read. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Molnar.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, let there be no doubt, I am in total support of what Senator Bogner is trying to do here. The section 1, line 19, I add direct line of sight. For example, a house on the hill overlooking Maelstrom Air Force Base would not be agricultural land, but they'd only need a spotting scope to watch what's going on at Maelstrom Air Force Base if that was their desire. Page 2, line 4, includes the homestead of the farm, which is usually 1 acre, as that is not considered ag land, but rather is taxed as residential, so you get the whole thing, not just the land. Note on line 3, page 2, we claim our authority to take this action under Executive Order 13873, which is a presidential order. Congress cannot amend an executive order, and the Montana legislature cannot add language and gain enforcement capacity by adding that language. I would like to share with you, and this comes from a brief for investors, and this goes to the presidential order in question. First of all, it says that the mechanism that provides the enforcement comes from the U.S. government. It also says that broadly construed is non-U.S. governments and persons determined to be foreign adversaries of the United States under the IFR, which is the interim final rule. The Department of Commerce asserts authority to prohibit, unwind, mitigate risk, etc. to go on just a bit more, the ICTS transactions, which is all this concerns, include the acquisition, importation, transportation, installation, etc., of hardware or software related to electronic communications, data storage, data processing. AgLand is not in there. The associated ICTS falls into the following categories. Critical infrastructure, we're talking that here. But in this case, they're talking about electronical. The networks and satellites, data housing, computer services involving sensitive personal data. I wish we would monitor that. Monitoring and home network devicing, advanced robotics, artificial intelligence, and machine learning drones, and quantum computing. AgLand is not included. Importantly, and this would be number four of the criterion, the U.S. government industrial security program is in charge of the enforcement, not the state of Montana, not Congress, not the FBI, not the CIA. Foreign adversaries. He just read you the list. He's exactly right. But adversary in this case is not like Russia, which is a military adversary of one of our allies. It has to do with they are stealing our patents. They're installing spy devices, anything electronic. Commerce may begin a review on its own, and this is where my amendment comes in. Commerce may begin a review on its own initiative on a referral from a different agency or by a referral from a private party. If you look down, I'm saying that we will form a delegation that will go to Commerce, ask for AgLand and state critical infrastructure to be included. Once they've done that, if they do it, we then have authority to move forward on this. So the trigger mechanism is the effective date becomes when we can enforce our own law as a state against a foreign adversary as listed. So I could go on, but it's always the party ops respond, Commerce and Coalition, the Secretary of State. Those are the only two that can do this, not us. I want this to go forward. What I don't want is to pass a bill that the second we set one foot on property outside a missile silo, somebody says, where's your search warrant? And we say, we don't have one. Our violation of the Supremacy Clause is what bars us from doing this. We don't have the authority. We can't amend it in. We can ask for it. They may give it to us. I also say in here that there's at least two congressmen working on this in Congress. Work with them to include AgLand, state infrastructure, and give us the authority to enforce. It might be we have the authority to work with the FBI, but we will then have the authority that is being requested.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Senator Mandeville.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the amendment sponsor yield to a question?
Will the sponsor yield?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, I'm looking at new section 2 of your amendment on page 2, starts on line 13, which speaks to the delegation to the federal government.
Right.
Starting on line 17, it says the delegation must include the sponsor of this act, a member of the governor's staff, a member of the attorney general's staff, and at least one legislator with experience in negotiation with the federal government. So I have a two-part question. One is, would this then require a fiscal note to form that delegation? And two, how many legislators do we have with experience in negotiation with the federal government?
I think we have several. I would be one. Anybody on an interim committee that's worked with Forest Service, whatever, would be another. Anytime we co-opt and work with those people, we gain authority or experience in how their laws work, who to talk to, what the presentation must include, etc.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Does the sponsor continue to yield?
Yes.
And Mr. Chair, Senator, would this include a fiscal note to form this delegation?
I would hazard a guess that if we're going to pay for it out of general fund, yes. There may be special funds. I don't know. Maybe we'll just all go on our own. I don't mind going to D.C. and working on this. My brother lives there. I can live cheap.
All right. Thank you.
Senator Bogner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I do like the amendment on the first page, adding in real property or residence as direct line of sight to a military institution. I cannot say the same about the new sections. So this bill was crafted purposefully, so that we didn't run into those federal issues that the amendment sponsor referenced. The critical infrastructure portion was taken from Texas code, Title 10 of the General Government Code in Texas, having to do with the critical infrastructure and entering into certain foreign-owned contracts with certain foreign-owned companies. Now, I added ag production land into that, but that comes from another state that is in their code, and the divestiture portion comes from North Dakota code, chapter 10.6.1. These are already in code. These have been enacted. They're moving forward. I don't want to run into issues that may be unintended without other states implementing this. So I would encourage you to vote against this, as those new sections complicate those new how the bill was drafted with those other states in mind. So, thank you.
Senator Molnar.
Thank you. Does Senator Bogner yield, please?
Does the Senator Bogner yield to a question?
I yield.
Those states you mentioned, Senator Bogner, Mr. Chairman, have any of them attempted to enforce an executive order or anything against a foreign adversary, and what was their success?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Molnar, I do not know the history of what those states have done with these laws.
Thank you.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, I would make a motion to segregate this amendment and that we adopt page one of the amendment.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, as the sponsor said, and I just talked to him, he does like on page one, line 19, which includes real property or residence that has direct line of sight with a military installation. So. That's what this segregation would do. We would just be voting on that portion of the amendment.
Is there any discussion on the separated amendment? Senator Bogner.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I think the amendment's a great idea. I do like the suggestion that Senator Molnar brought with the line of sight prevents these foreign adversaries from being able to perform some espionage activities if they can see the military installation. So I would support this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Esp. Senator Esp. Senator Hertz, would you care to close on your amendment? The senator does close on a segregated amendment. The question now arises on the segregated amendment of Senator Hertz on Senate Bill.
Mr. Chair, I think there's some confusion as to what we're voting on here, so maybe if you could clarify to the body. I believe we're voting to segregate and adopt page one of the amendment in one vote. Mr. Majority Leader, would you agree?
Yes.
Good down there? Okay. Senator Hertz has closed on his segregated amendment of the Senator Fitzpatrick.
Let's stand at ease, Mr. Chair.
Stand at ease.
Definition of homesteads?
It's normally it's 1 acre segregated from the farmland. That's where you'd have your corral, your buildings, your outhouses, okay. All of that, and your home. That is taxed as 1 acre of residential okay. property. The rest is taxed.
Okay. Thank you.
Spend some time in tax landing.
The body will come to order. Senator Hertz.
So, Mr. Chair, I'd like to clarify my motion. I move to segregate the amendment number Senate Bill 2003-002.001 and adopt that part of the amendment that includes new section 1. And that would be the language on page 1. And page 2 that encompasses new section 1.
Thank you, Senator Hertz. Senator, would you like to close on? Is there any discussion on the segregated amendment? Seeing none, Senator Hertz, would you care to close on your segregated amendment? The question now arises on the segregated amendment on section 1 of the amendment that Senator Hertz, that Senate bill. Senate Bill 203B amendment, as many are in favor of the motion say aye, those opposed say no. The clerk will crow the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators have voted aye. The amendment as segregated has been amended. Are there any further amendments on the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bogner, would you care to move your bill as amended?
I think. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Aspen.
Point of order.
we may have to vote on what's left of the amendment before you go to the bill.
Thank you, Senator Resp. Senator, would it be, then it'd be Senator Molnar, would you like to close on your bill as amended? Would that be the way? Yeah. Majority Leader Fitzpatrick. Would you like to call it ease?
Why don't we do this, Mr. Chair, just so it's clear. Let's just let Senator Molnar offer his full amendment. We'll vote it down, and then that way we know exactly what we did here.
Guys, I swear. Senator Molnar, would you care to close your amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I believe I would. Despite that rousing endorsement by the majority leader, I think I still have some hope. So let's take a look back at what my friend, Senator Bogner, just said. I got this language from other states. They have never tried to enforce. I doubt we're the only state in the union that it has land owned by someone or something, entity of some sort, on this list. They're in Montana. Why has the sheriff not moved if, as the good senator implied, they're a spy operation? For one thing, that would be FBI. I can assure you, subject to check, that somewhere around that missile silo, on a hill somewhere, they are monitoring to see if there are electronic signals coming out of that farm. There is no reason to believe right now that they are spies. If they are, the FBI doesn't much care what the Department of Commerce says. That's under a different statute. Period. The reason the sheriff can't move is he can't move because of nationality. He can't move because we don't like the way they infringe on our patents. He can't move because they're not an adversarial nation that he can move on with cause. I do not want this to be yet another bill, as we had last time, was it like 15 that were struck down, unconstitutional? We can't use them. I want to pass a bill we can pass. The Chinese government has an arrest warrant on me and my wife. You think I'm a Chinese sympathizer? I am for the Chinese people, but not for their government, not for their corporations. I would ask that we pass this from a delegation, do our best to lobby. There's two congressmen trying to do this right now. Why? They can't get into an executive order, and neither can we. And we can't enforce foreign policy until somebody says we can enforce it. And I don't think we're going to get it. Maybe Senator Tester, working with Senator Daines, can help us get it. We have two congressmen. I'm darn sure neither one of them are communist sympathizers. If we can get their ear and get something passed quickly, we can do this. Without it, we can do nothing. I want an effective measure. That's why I'm standing up here.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Mr. Chairman, just so we're clear here on what we're doing, we've taken the original amendment by Senator Molnar and we broke it in half, and we've amended the bill with the part that's been segregated. What we're voting on now is the remaining part that has not been adopted. So I think to clarify the motion at this point is to amend the bill with the part that was not segregated out when Mr. Senator Hertz made his motion, I believe. So that'll be that's the motion. This is on the remaining portion of Senator Molnar's amendment.
Mr. Majority Leader, point of order. We only voted on separating out the piece, so we still have two amendments, correct?
No.
The original motion by Senator Hertz was to segregate and amend.
Okay.
Because so now what we have left is the remaining portion of Senator Molnar's amendment. And I that's what we're going to now vote to amend the bill with the remaining portion of Senator Molnar's amendment.
Thank you, Majority Leader. That's what I wanted to make sure we were all correct. Staff has asked me to go. This body will be at ease.
We need to.
We're going to have to send the basketball to you.
The floor will come to order.
5100.
The question now arises on the what's left of the portion of the amendment on Senate Bill, the amendment of Senator Molnar, that Senate Bill 203 be amended. As is many in favor of the motion, say aye. Those opposed, say no. Has everybody voted? Clerk will call the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 17 senators vote aye and 33 senators vote nay.
Please give me those numbers again, sir.
17 senators have voted aye and 33 senators have voted nay.
17 senators voted aye, 30 have voted nay. The amendment has failed. Are there any other amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bogner, would you care to move your bill as amended?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee doesn't rise in port after having under consideration Senate Bill 203 that recommends the same do pass as amended.
Senator Bogner.
Mr. Chair, we don't need to move the bill as amended and open again after it's been amended here in second reading. We're just here on discussion now.
Discussion on the bill as amended. Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill, please. I'm going to encourage a green light on this bill. I would also like to point out, unless I stand corrected, that the good senior U.S. Senator from Big Sandy, Montana, has a very similar legislation that he is working on in the U.S. Senate right now. And makes sense. Vote green.
Senator Bartel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to speak to the bill, after all this, I do think it is a good bill because it's has my passion in there for agricultural production land, and if we can keep it away from foreign adversaries, because the reason we do is we all have one thing in common. We all like to eat, so we need to protect that ag production land. So please support this bill.
Senator McGillivray.
Mr. Chairman, a question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes.
Senator Bogner, I'm just curious regarding some tax issues around here. So if a foreign, do you know, did this bill address anything like if a foreign corporation has a land and an entity from Montana, say me, builds property and improves property on that land, does this deal with any of the tax issues regarding that, or is this just saying you can't do it?
This, Mr. Chairman, Senator, this just says that you can't do it. I think a bill to address the tax issues would be a great idea.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Molnar.
Mr. Chairman, I'll comment on the tax thing because I've been thinking about this, but then I need to talk to the president so you people can understand where I'm coming from. We did give that farm owned by a Chinese entity a break on their tractors and other equipment in the bill just a week ago. But, Mr. President, as you know, I'm a little sensitive on constitutional violations, and I find this to be a violation of the Supremacy Act, Supremacy Clause. However, when the balloon went over Billings, my wife and niece, who are both very, very Chinese, faced aggression while sitting at McDonald's. I will not add to that that their husband or uncle voted in support of a Chinese spy ring. So I would ask your indulgence on the rule, if you're present, you must vote, and then I be voted excused.
Senator Morjo.
Just a point of order, you're required to vote yes or no if you're in under our rules, so we can't have an excused vote. You got to vote yes or no.
Senator Morjo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I, in committee, was one of the two no votes, and I am going to be a yes today, but I did want to just say why I was a no, and that's just because I originally just felt that there were some particular challenges in implementing this bill as far as, you know, if there were straw buyers, how would we be able to vet those people and identify them if they are working on behalf of a foreign adversary. That said, I do think this is far too important of an issue, and I think we need to keep moving it along and try and figure out ways to accomplish those goals. I mean, protecting Montana. People do, we have had situations where there's plenty of documentaries on this out there where people have bought properties and from foreign adversaries and been spies in our country, and so this isn't far-fetched of a thing. I think it's a real thing, and it's happened in the past, so I'm going to be a yes on this today.
Is there any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Bogner, do you care to close on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the body. I want to start off by thanking the senator who proposed the amendment. I think it did improve the bill, so thank you for that. You know, as the great power competition with certain adversarial nations grow, we do need to be doing our part as a state to protect our country. We need to be proactive in preventing our adversaries from gaining advantages in influence, in espionage, and asymmetrical warfare. Prohibiting adversaries from entering into agreements for critical infrastructure helps us do that. So I would really appreciate your support on this bill. And I do want to note that the senior U.S. Senator from Big Sandy did introduce the bill in Congress after this one was introduced. So thank you.
The question now rises in the motion of Senator Bogner that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 203 that it recommend do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Every member voted? Senator Molnar, does anybody wish a member to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
49 senators have voted aye, 0 have voted no. Senate Bill 203 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you Senate Bill 255. Will the clerk read the title and history of the bill?
Senate Bill 255, introduced by Pope, a bill for an act intended on revising electric vehicle charging station laws, allowing electric vehicle service providers to purchase power from wholesale markets, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1-4.
Members of the committee, now before you is Senate Bill 255. What is your pleasure, Senator Pope?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this body does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 255, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Pope.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you. It's an honor to bring Senate Bill 255. It's a good bill. It'll be a brief bill, and it does not spend money, nor does it set any energy policy. But it will help clean up and update some very important parts of our statute that will help the state prepare for the early commercial stages of an electrified transportation future. Members, this bill was developed over the summer with the help of numerous stakeholders, including our state's principal public utility. The bill addresses the substantial investment in commercial electric charging stations, the charging station infrastructure expected in our state over the coming decade. Principal elements of this bill, you'll see that the bill updates important, rapidly changing definitions being used across the country for the charging station equipment and for those who own and operate commercial charging stations. I might note that the bill does not apply to existing or future private, non-commercial charging equipment that we'd have in our garage or in private residences or in private multi-unit non-commercial dwellings. Nor does this bill apply to Montana's proud co-ops, electric co-ops. Other provisions, Mr. Chair, the bill clarifies important roles that our public utilities and our public service commission will play in overseeing and servicing this emerging industry. It provides that a commercial charging station selling to the public does so at a national standard of a per kilowatt hour and at a rate set by the PSC. It provides that a future charging station owner can set their own prices in what will be a competitive market, much like a gas station. To reiterate, the PSC by this bill shall have no role in setting retail electricity prices. Finally, this bill clarifies that a private sector electric vehicle service supplier, that's a charging station owner, is not a public utility, because right now that's in statute that way. But it does provide that a Montana public utility can be the owner of public charging station equipment if it so chooses, which would allow our utilities to invest in this future opportunity if they so choose, under guidelines already established by statute and rule. So that's the bill. It's admittedly a little wonky, but it's simple. It sets the table for our private sector to invest in a new chapter of America's transportation industry. And it's supported by our stakeholders, including our major public utility. With that, Mr. Chair, I urge you to pass.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, I was one of the no votes on the bill, and it's really the big picture on electric vehicles. This isn't market-driven. It's being forced on the public. The early electric car companies, heavily subsidized by government money. It wasn't public demand, it was government money pushing it. And now we have ARPA spending millions of dollars to put charging stations in Montana. It's not because of public demand, it's not because of free enterprise that way. And I just see this bill as playing into that non-market-driven issue. Therefore, I was a no.
Senator McGillivray.
Mr. Chairman, I have concerns about this bill. I appreciate the sponsor's intent here to pave the way, but I have concerns about going that way. I was at a conference in Denver 6 months ago where the whole program was every ride, every vehicle electric. Now consider a day like today in the state of Montana when it's 17, 20 below, or even worse. Every base load power producing station or entity that we have is online just keeping our homes warm. And there's relatively zero to spare. The idea that you can have every vehicle, every ride electric is pure utopian fantasy. And we're learning now that it's costing more to run an electric vehicle. I just saw an article come out the other day on this issue. More to run an electric vehicle than it does to run a gas-powered vehicle. So it's not cheaper. It's not going to save the environment. It's creating serious environmental problems with disposing of batteries and even the production of those batteries and what goes into those batteries and the reliance on foreign adversaries like the bill we just had. So I have some deep concerns about going this direction, and I would urge the body to resist going this way. Let's not make it easier to seal our doom with respect to providing energy for our people in the state of Montana that are trying to power their homes and keep them warm. I encourage a red light.
Senator Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to speak to the bill. I was on that committee, and for example, if you're in Malta, Montana, and you need your car charged, and there's an opportunity for somebody to put in a unit like this and charge whatever he can when you're in a remote area like that, it would be an opportunity. Thank you.
Minority Leader Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill. This bill is not about the future of electric cars per se. We all have our own opinions about that, and we're not going to decide it today with this bill, and we probably won't convince each other what that future is going to look like or whether it's right or wrong. This is just about getting the code in a place that as we move forward, there will be electric cars, and we'll have the right code in place to allow for that to happen. And the only thing I'd add is, yes, electric development of electric cars, charging stations, has been subsidized, but I'd like to remind everybody that our oil production has been and will continue to be heavily subsidized as well. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Pope, would you care to close on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just briefly, committee, I would just say that the private U.S. auto industry has invested 100 times or 200 times more than any kind of government money into this sector, and that's based on their business plan. This is not a policy bill. What this is a bill to create jobs and to prepare this state if and when it comes. This does not, you know, suggest or demand anything. It doesn't spend any money. It's just simply to say to our business community, the Montana Chamber of Commerce, for example, the Contractors Association, for example, and all the entrepreneurs in this state, that if you choose to, on your own dime, we're going to provide a path forward. You're going to do the work. We're not doing the work. We just take the rocks out of the road, and we'll see where it goes. So I would hope that we're going to vote for the economy, and I thank you for your green light.
The question now arises of the motion of Senator Pope that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 255, it recommend do same pass. As many members of the motion signify by aye, those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, call the record of the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 33 senators vote aye and 17 senators vote nay.
33 senators have voted aye, 17 have voted no. Senate Bill 255 has passed second reading. Committee. Members, you have in front of you for your consideration Senate Bill 299. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 299, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled an act requiring an audit of the judicial branch district courts and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the title or history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 299. What is your pleasure, Senator Usher?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 299, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. The title of the bill says it all. Originally, this thought was brought to me after we added some judges across the state. I had constituents and some employees in different courthouses. Somehow, people started finding out that I listened, so I started getting additional phone calls from outside of my district. And so I started thinking about it and looking at it. And basically, we only get one side of the story when we talk to constituents and citizens. So, after 2017, the criminal justice reinvestment, we changed a lot of laws, and then we added some judges in different places across the state. We funded a whole new upgrade software program, full court for the courts. So instead of not really having a response for the people that contacted me, I said, well, let's put in for an audit and see how the progress is coming based on us giving them more judges and giving them the software. We've been giving them some good tools. Let's see how it's working. I will say our courts in Montana, compared to other states, we have great data. They put out, if you go to Montana courts, Google that, there's a lot of data there, but this will just reaffirm what their data is showing, and go green.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in support of this bill. I would just like to point out to the sponsor that we are currently auditing district courts, and we will have that product done by the deadline. And I think it will be informative for everyone on this floor. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the motion? Senator McGilvery.
Mr. Chair, just a question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
I do.
Senator Usher, Senator Hammond and I both sit on audit, and I'm just curious if since we're already doing an audit on this issue, is this bill moot, or does this require something in addition to what we're already doing?
Mr. Chair, Senator, I would say that if I remember correctly, I did talk to our audit division downstairs, and if that were the case, that this would be mute, then they would not have continued to work with me. So I'm more than willing to, if this passes today, go down there and find out what the issue is, if there's what the difference is, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Hayman probably knows better than I do. I just don't remember, so I was just asking, so thanks.
Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would the sponsor yield to a question, please?
Would the sponsor yield?
I do. So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Usher, you are requiring the judicial branch to pay for something that the legislative branch orders. Is that what you're doing in this bill?
Mr. Chair, Senator, that's how the bill is written, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Usher,
Do you continue to yield?
I do.
You think that flies in the face of the separation of powers?
Mr. Chair, Senator, I don't think so. If it did, it would have come up in previous conversations, but I'm shocked that it came in so much, because we did discuss how much data that they already have in the judicial branch and how they could work together to reaffirm and confirm what they already have. So we didn't think that it was going to be this amount. This is a fiscal note for the full amount, which Again, I've said it before, I think when departments do that, I think that's a slap in our face.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll just speak to the bill. I think this bill might take things a step too far. I think we have to maintain the independence of the legislative audit division, and we're starting to slip down a slippery slope with this bill. I think I would prefer to go through the normal processes that we do to prioritize audits and performance audits, and so I'm going to resist the bill.
Is there any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Usher, would you care to close?
Mr. Chair, I'll just follow up on a comment from the good senator from Big Timber. I'd be happy when it comes down to approves to amend that, so comes from general fund, our budget. And with that said, I will follow up with the audit division to see the difference between this bill and what they're already doing. So, and I'll get back to both of you. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Usher that when the committee does rise and report after having in consideration Senate Bill 299 that recommends same do pass. As many in the favor of the motion signify by voting aye, those opposed, has everybody member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 25 senators vote aye and 25 senators vote nay.
25 senators voted aye, 25 have voted no. Senate Bill 299 does not pass second reading. Majority Leader Fitzpatrick.
Mr. Chairman, I move to indefinitely postpone Senate Bill 299.
You've heard the Senate Majority Leader Fitzpatrick. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, say no. Has every member voted? Kelker? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 40 senators vote aye and 10 senators vote nay.
40 senators voting aye, 10 nay. The bill has been, Senate Bill 299 has been tabled. Members, you have before you the consideration of Senate Bill 300. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 300, introduced by McClafferty and others, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws related to speech language pathologists and audiologists, revising qualifications for a licensure as a speech language pathology assistant or audiology assistant, amending section and providing a delayed effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 300. What's your pleasure, Senator McCaffrey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 300, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator McCaffrey.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, what Senate Bill 300 does is it corrects a bill that was passed in 2021, and we passed this bill, and we didn't see the problem with it at that time, but the audiologists and speech language pathologists have found that there is no no test that is available anywhere throughout the nation to test the assistance for this program. So here we are today fixing this bill, and I'm going to tell you that the corrections are on page 1, and it amends the requirements, line 21 and 22, and then also the other change is on page 1, line 27 and 28. This is just to fix an error, and this would be greatly appreciated by the speech and language pathologists in the state of Montana. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator McCafferty, do you wish to close? The senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator McCafferty that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 300, that it recommend to do the same pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Molnar? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators voted aye. Senate Bill 300 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you under consideration Senate Bill 320. Will the clerk read the title and history of the bill?
Senate Bill 320, introduced by Boldman and others, a bill for an act intended on revising laws related to residential rental application fees, waiving charges for or requiring a refund of portions of residential rental application fees, allowing certain costs to be deducted, providing for a civil action if an application fee is wrongfully withheld, providing definitions, and providing an immediate effective date and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 320. What is your pleasure, Senator Boldman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does write its report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 320, that it recommend the same do pass. Mr. Chair.
Senator Boldman.
So, housing crisis, we've talked about it a lot, including yesterday. It's real, it's urban, it's rural, it's tribal, it's in all of our communities. I don't want to overcomplicate this, so I'll try to be short. This bill, it allows a landlord to charge for the criminal background check and the credit check in an application fee for a rental unit one time in 6 months. After the prospective tenant, after that, they can use it for other applications for 6 months. This bill is a part of a package of bills that we've been working so hard on for a long time in a bipartisan manner to help with the housing crisis in Montana. And this is one of our last ones that really is here to assist renters. It was, again, with the co-sponsors on here, which we haven't even added the House co-sponsors yet. It has a lot of bipartisan support. We did amend this bill, pare it down even more significantly, which is why it doesn't have my favorite title, because I think the title doesn't really reflect the amendment and the current content. But we did amend the bill, which was adopted in the committee, to address any of the remaining concerns that the landlords had. I do need to share with this body, and I won't make you stand, but my husband and I are landlords. Yes, we are the evil landlords. And this bill benefits us as landlords, and it benefits the many, many young people and families that are renters and tenants throughout the state. So again, this bill with its current amendment, all it does is just say that portions of the rental application fee can be waived if they've been already paid for by the renter. So I don't have any props today, but I do have a quick story. When I was a kid, I went to Catholic school, 12 years, and in first grade at Christmas time, we would dress up two of the first graders like Mary and Joseph, and they would go from classroom to classroom, and then, of course, they would knock on the classroom door, and then all the kids would yell, "There's no room at the inn." And then they'd go to the third grade, "There's no room at the inn." And then, of course, you got to the eighth grade, and then we'd have a party. So what this bill does, in my analogy, I think a lot of folks are getting confused about what the difference between an application fee is in a rental and what a deposit is in a rental. Okay, this bill is about application fees, and I think a lot of folks aren't understanding that because not all landlords charge them, but a lot of them are. So, application fees, just to apply, if you're Mary and Joseph in my analogy, you would go to the second grade, and you would knock on the door, and you'd have to pay the second grade between $50 to $150. And then they would take your application fee, and then they would still yell, "There's no room at the inn." And they would do that to the next person, and the next person, the next person. And then you'd pay it again, Mary and Joseph, and there'd still be no room at the inn. And that's what this bill is serving to address. That is not a fair thing, right? And so what we worked with the landlords is that we didn't want the landlords to be out of pocket any of their costs either. They should be paid for what their costs are. And so for the folks that are still doing that, we said, once you've charged it once, for 6 months, you gotta keep using the same application fee and the same background check before you eventually, hopefully, Mary and Joseph make it to the eighth grade classroom there. I will tell you, we have heard, and I've learned through experiences now with a family situation we had, in many of our communities right now, we have what's called zero vacancy. That means that there could be, and our churches and our nonprofits told us this, sometimes 50 applicants for one rental unit in our communities. In Missoula and in Bozeman and Kalispell, Whitefish, 100 applicants for one rental unit. That means that if we keep charging them every time that they have to keep applying, it's just Montana's not in a situation like that right now. I am not someone who thinks that the landlords should be out of pockets for things that they paid for, and that's, this bill now does not do that. And so with that, I think this bill is fair. It benefits our communities. I think that by working together across both sides of the aisle and in both houses and listening to the opponents, we have crafted what we can do together, which is common sense solutions that I think really will benefit a lot of people, particularly families and young people that are still in the stages of their life where they rent. So thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Zolikoff.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. So I'm going to read a little anecdotal perspective. This is recent. My two roommates and I were looking for a house in and around Bozeman last spring. These are college students. We applied to six different houses before we got one. Fees were $40, $60, and I've heard they've gone, and there are some that are much higher, right? And we had to each pay it separately each time since we had to apply separately. A lot of these houses, they were rented by the end of the day, and they were listed, so a lot of the time property managers and landlords didn't even run our background check or consider applications, and they lost a few, about $200 to $300 each. Ended up finding a place 30 miles out of town, the cheapest one they could find, without utilities included, $2,300 a month. And that's about 800, with utilities is about 2,500 a month, so about $850 per person. I remember years ago, in my youth, I went to college at the University of Montana. And there were four of us. People moved around all over the place. I lived in a tiny room, yes, but it was $250 a month, easy to find through somebody we knew. Now there's not only less available, there's almost none available. So if you have to apply and apply and apply, you could say it's a few hundred bucks. To some people, that's not a lot, but when you're on a college budget, that is a lot. And if you're applying and applying and applying, that's a lot. So I'm not saying this is the end-all be-all, but I think we're looking at things from every angle. It'd be a hypocrite to not look at it from this one as well. So we want to try to fix these problems. Nothing's going to fix these problems all at once, but I appreciate the intent here. I'm sure the sponsor is still working with people as well, just hearing their concerns, making sure this will work. And so I think we should keep this going.
Senator McGeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, if you look at the vote, it barely got out of committee. And really, this is getting into telling people what they can and can't do with their property. It's a property rights thing. I think a lot of us trying to find a place to stay here in Helena had a tough time. Maybe some of you had to pay an application fee. I know I had one place, the application, and there was a fee, and I said, no thanks, I'll do something else. We heard from the sponsor that they don't charge application fees. Not everybody does. Let the market drive that. If this passes, next session, they're going to come with a bill and saying the deposits are too high. We can't afford that. And then the next session will be the rent is too high. We can't afford that. So this is a property rights thing. I would urge you to vote no.
Senator Heinbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't know the good senator up front was going to talk, or I should have shut my light off probably, but I was one of the no votes, and I would just say that if it's so easy to have a rental business or to be a landlord, maybe a person should just go buy a house and they can rent it to people. So I think if you really need to go to college, there's lots of room in Glendive. We got a junior college there, so come over there. I'd encourage a no vote.
Is there any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Baldwin, would you care to close?
Yeah, thanks, everyone. It's a good discussion. And like I said, we've worked really hard to make sure that this is the right fit so that it isn't a taking, so that it isn't too much for the landlords. We've heard, for the most part, that they don't object to this bill. They're not out of pocket. Part of the reason I brought this bill was a mom and a little boy and his little sister. My church and I, we'd help them to try to get out of the YWCA shelter and into an apartment in our community. And so the church and we would try to get some money. And that's when I learned that the application fees, it's not anecdotal. It was thousands of dollars. And it's duplicative and it's not right. And so I do think this little bill, it is clearly not what the renters probably wanted, but it's a start, as my friend in the back said, and I think it will make a big difference in our community. So in the theme I wore today of my dress, vote green.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Bowman that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 320 that it recommend do pass. As many in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 35 senators vote aye and 15 senators vote nay.
35 senators voting aye, 15 voting no. The Senate Bill 320 has passed second reading. Members, you have before you in consideration Senate Bill 321. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 321, introduced by Baldwin and others, a bill for an act entitled an act revising stalking laws to include the use of global positioning devices and similar technological means, providing a definition and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of this committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 321. What is your pleasure, Senator Baldwin?
Thanks a lot. Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having in consideration Senate Bill 321, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Bowman.
Thank you, members of the body. So two in a row, someone has a sense of humor. This bill had no opponents, supported by the Department of Justice, county attorneys, police officers, sheriffs. It is just to update our statutes to protect us from the current technological times that we live in. So for those of you that are not as young as some of the folks in this body, which include me anymore, the technology that we have today is the size of a dime. They're called AirTags, they're called Tiles, but they're GPS tracking devices, and I can put them in your purse, or I can put them in your back pocket, or I can put them in the bottom of your car, and I can track you everywhere you go without your permission. And that's what this bill does, so thanks.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Bowman, would you care to close?
Thank you. My friend from Butte, Mr. Chairman of the committee, would like me to clarify that this bill will not track you. It will prevent you from being tracked. Is that better? Thank you.
The question now arises in the motion of Senator Bowman that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 321 that it recommends do pass. As many of them are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators voting aye. Senate Bill 321 has passed second reading. Members, you have before you for under consideration Senate Bill 342. Will the clerk read the title and the history of the bill?
Senate Bill 342, introduced by Hertz and others, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Bicycle Law, revising the definition of bicycle, providing an electrically assisted bicycle with a 750 watt or less motor can be used anywhere a bicycle can be used, in amended section.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of this committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 342. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 342, it recommends the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chair, members of the body, this bill is about accessing and enjoying the great outdoors in Montana. As the title said, and as you can see in the bill on page 1, line 20, basically it just, right now bicycles do include electronically assisted bikes, e-bikes. So what I have gone on to say, if you have an e-bike at 750 or watt motor or less, it may be used anywhere that a bicycle is allowed to ride on. But that does not include federal lands because we cannot regulate our federal lands. So on your desk, too, there's a handout. Looks like this. Senate Bill 342, do e-bikes damage trails? If you look in the middle of that, the answer is yes. Electronic mountain bikes damage trails. But the damage is very small and insignificant. IMBA, which is an International Mountain Bike Association, did a study in 2015 that basically said electronic bikes do as much damage to trails as a traditional mountain bike does. So there's basically no difference when you're using these mountain bikes or e-bikes. Of course, anytime you walk on a trail, ride a horse, take a motorcycle, whatever, you're going to disrupt the earth. There's also, looks like someone's trying to derail, get my bike off the trail here. There's another handout. It looks like this guy evidently looks like he's riding a motorcycle, but it's actually an e-bike, and he has a motorcycle helmet on, and he's climbing up a hill. I can guarantee you a 750-watt e-bike cannot climb a hill with a throttle only like that and stir up dirt. They don't do that. With a pedal assist, it'd be very similar to climbing a hill with a mountain bike, although the pedal assist does give some elderly people and disabled people a little more boost to get up the hill if they want. What I want to do, I want to read, I mean, I can sit here and talk, but you know, I've gotten emails from people all across the state. Here's one that basically says, Senator Hertz, hey, I reached out to such and such organization to see why they're opposed to this particular bill. He says, my understanding, it's going to allow smaller e-bikes to cover the same trails in Montana that mountain bikers are on. So he said, I pointed out to this organization that many citizens are aging and questions why they're championing public access to public lands, yet they seem to be bent on keeping certain citizens off them, namely those who are elderly and those less able-bodied. Then another one I got, too, basically says he contacted the organizations that were opposing this, and they say, well, these are motorized. Well, the National Highway Traffic Transportation Vehicle Standards, not a single state recognizes e-bikes as a motorized vehicle, nor do they require you to license them. He just said, my personal observations are that pedal assist bike riders are predominantly older and have physical limitations. I'm 65. I can no longer ride my conventional mountain bike as before. My pedal assist bike enables me to continue riding, except, you know, these bias bans have stopped me from riding on certain areas across the state. So this bill just makes it simpler, even for land managers. I mean, when you see a bicycle, e-bike, especially the 750-watt less, looks very similar to a normal bike. You know, I've seen land managers that are out there and, you know, they may be a sign that says no e-bike, yet there are e-bikes on the trail. It's very difficult for them to determine which is an e-bike and which is not an e-bike. And it basically makes no sense to, especially these smaller watt e-bikes, to discriminate against them and keep them off the trail. I'd request a due pass on this bill. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend Senate Bill 342 with Amendment SB 342-002-001, signed Senator Dunwell.
What is your pleasure, Senator Dunwell?
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 342 be amended and request that amendment number 342.002.001 be posted and deemed read, please.
Senator Dunwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. So this is an amendment that I don't think we need to segregate. Just vote for the whole thing. I was a yes vote in committee, and since then got some more information, a lot more information, actually. So decided to bring this amendment. I do want to thank the sponsor for in committee bringing the amendment that reduced the maximum wattage from 1,000 down to 750. That's pretty much the so-called class one e-bike and goes no faster than 18 miles an hour. So I thought. So anyway, let me walk you through the amendment. First of all, we're going to need to put permissible in and strike anywhere a bicycle can be used. That's in the title on page one. We heard from one of the opponents in committee that, you know, really this is not good as top down from the state down, that it's best for local communities who know their local open lands, the terrain, and the way their trails go. They know that to be able to determine whether a certain type of e-bike, any bike, can be used on a trail. So that's the first part of the amendment. The second one is on page one, and it starts on line 19. This is a definition of bicycle, what a bicycle means. So this amendment just strikes the inclusion of electrically assisted bicycles in this definition of bicycle propelled by human power. And we put that definition, I believe, where it belongs under the definition that exists in statute of electrically assisted bicycle. And you'll see that on line 12, page 2, we put in a 750 watt or less electric motor. So the 750 watt or less is just moving it from page 1 to page 2, where I believe it should be under the electrically assisted bicycle definition. And then again on line 15, page 2, we put 15 miles an hour on an unpaved trail where allowed by state law or local ordinance. And again, that goes back to my point that it really should be up to the local communities on their local open land. So let's go back to that pretty picture of our friend on the, it looks like a motorbike, but it's an e-bike. It's a throttle first, Mr. Throttle First. So what this throttle first bike can do, it's considered class one, and it can be switched with a, throttle or button to class three, and then off-road mode to reach up to 28 miles an hour. Now you're getting up there with speeds. And the other thing is, if they switch back and forth to class three or to off-road, and they're way back in the open land, how's that going to be enforced? So there's that. Then there's page two of these lovely handouts. And this talks about, I can't say the full name of this type of bike on the floor, but it's a bad donkey electric bike. So this really bad donkey electric bike is actually a 750 watt electric bicycle. And wait, there's more. It could be souped up with an extra 48 volt that's part of the 750 watt, and that can go up to 27 miles an hour. And yeah, it's a 750 watt Bafang motor that's sort of on the second column under double battery. It's got a double battery. So where does that fit? They're trying to skirt around, I think, the 750 watt. And then way down at the bottom, here's the kicker. This bad A electric bike comes from China. So if you look at the handout on the bottom right corner, when we start shipping, they began shipping in April 2022 using a door-to-door service from China. So you too can order this bad A electric bike from China. I don't know, we passed a bill earlier, and I'm glad we did, on the floor, not to sell our land, our beautiful Montana land, infrastructure to China. So I don't want to buy a bad ape bike from China. So with that, I think this improves the bill, Mr. Chair. So please vote yes.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, will the sponsor yield to some questions?
Will the sponsor yield?
Let's ride.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dunwell. So I see you did amend it part of our current language, which probably shouldn't even be in here. So if I have a 700-watt or less electronic motor capable of propelling a vehicle and a rider who weighs 750 pounds, no faster than 20 or 50 miles an hour. Senator Dunwell, do I weigh 170 pounds?
Oh, is this a riddle, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dunwell, I want to imagine you're on the trail and you're managing the trails, and you look at me, I'm on this bike, do I weigh 170 pounds?
Let's see, let's segregate that question. Imagine I'm on the trail right now. Yeah, I can imagine I'm on the trail right now. No.
Mr. Chair,
I don't know, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dunwell, does Senator Small weigh more than 170 pounds?
Point of order.
All right. Mr. Chair, I have another question.
Does the sponsor continue to yield?
Yes, of course.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dunwell, imagine you are the trail master again, and I'm riding my e-bike down the hill. How are you going to know how fast I am going if you don't have a radar gun?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hertz, that's my point. How are these going to be enforced?
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Does the sponsor continue to yield?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dunwell, why aren't there any miles per hour restrictions on a mountain bike? Because I know mountain bikes, from just doing a little research, can go 30 up to 35 miles an hour downhill. And also, you can probably go on probably at least 15 miles an hour on pavement. So why are you just discriminating on these particular e-bikes and not regulating mountain bike speed also?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hertz, that's a really good question. I think that's an idea for another bill. Can we stick to the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So you can see, as I'm pointing out, and that's why I'm bringing this bill, 750-watt e-bike is a bike that, you know, you just can't hop on the throttle and press the throttle and climb hills. They don't work that way. You need pedal assist. Even this advertisement says up to 20 miles an hour. That's if you're pedaling pretty hard, and that's probably on a flat. This just really makes it much easier for land managers and anybody else who is looking at these. It's truly an access issue. There's some nonprofit type organizations who don't want people on their fun trails like everybody else. So all this does, it opens it up to the rest of the public, especially older, disabled individuals to enjoy the great outdoors of Montana. So we just need to, I'd say, vote no on this amendment. It just continues the confusion that's going on all across this country.
Are there any other discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, Senator Dunwell, would you care to close on your amendment?
Thank you. I close.
The question now arises on the amendment of Senator Dunwell, the Senate Bill 342 be amended. As many in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those vote nay. The clerk will record the vote. Oh, Senator Welborn.
Mr. Chairman, 19 senators vote aye and 31 senators vote nay.
19 senators have voted aye. 31 have voted no. The amendment does fail. Are there any further amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Senator, is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Hyman.
Mr. Chair, that's Senator Hayman. Current law regarding e-bike use on state-managed lands allows their designation as motorized vehicles, and therefore their prohibition on state-managed lands designated non-motorized. These lands typically allow pedestrian and bicycle use. In the case of state trust lands, this is often used to protect lessee livestock and crops. In the case of block management plans, it is often a condition of landowners' willingness to take part in the program. In the case of FWP, it is often to protect wildlife resources during critical periods. Those reasons for prohibiting e-bikes won't change so under SB 342. Those tasked with managing these programs will have two choices, two tough choices: restrict access for all bikes or restrict public access altogether. Currently, many local and trail systems have specific trails open to e-bikes and specific trails that only allow non-motorized recreation, the traditional hiking, horses, pedestrians. SB 342 undermines local government's ability to decide what fits best on their local trails in favor of a top-down edict from Helena. Please vote no on this bill.
Is there any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Hertz, do you care to close on your bill?
Thank you, and thank you for the discussion. There's a lot of confusion out there, and I think people just don't realize what e-bikes are capable of, especially the smaller ones. We talk about bicycles or mountain bikes. I've been on trails too, and I know my horse too, and having a mountain biker come down the hill with his earbuds in and has no idea that I'm even there, I can't hear him, I can't get their attention, they're going pretty darn fast. Typically, your e-bike riders are not doing that. They're older individuals who just want to get on the trails. There's no reason that they shouldn't be on the trails. Yes, there are some e-bikes that have 1,000, 1,500 watt motors that should not be out there. Those are motorized type vehicles. These are pedal assist. They're not motorized. They just make it easier, open up our lands so that everybody can enjoy the great outdoors in Montana. One thing I too wanted to point out, this bill does not impact private landowners. We can't tell private landowners what they can and can't do on their property. So this just applies to state and local land. So let's just make it easier. Let's let everybody enjoy our great outdoors. Please vote green. Thank you.
The question now arises on Senator Senator Hertz, when this committee does rise report on it, have it under consideration, Senate Bill 342, that recommends same do pass. Many in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Sales? Senator Bowman? Senator Sales? Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 27 senators vote aye and 23 senators vote nay.
27 senators voting aye, 23 voting nay. Senate Bill 342 has passed second reading. Committee, members, you now have before you under consideration Senate Bill 344. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 344, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising License Plate Laws, revising laws regarding the placement of license plates, allowing for the vertical display of certain license plates, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 344. What is your pleasure, Senator Usher?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under considerations Senate Bill 344, that I recommend the same be passed.
Senator Usher?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. This is a license plate bill. Basically, it says that, or clarifies that license plates need to be right side up, readable from left to right. And there's some exceptions for motorcycles, quadricycles, trailers, and some others that if there's no room to do it that way, then you can turn it vertically, but it has to be able to read from top to bottom. That's all this does. The reason why we have them is so people can read them. If they're not in the proper position, we can't read them.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Usher, do you wish to close? Senator does close. The question now arises in the motion of Senator Usher that when this committee does rise and report after having it under consideration, Senate Bill 344, that it recommends the same do pass. As many of in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, those opposed vote no. Has everybody member voted? Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators have voted aye, one have voted no. Senate Bill 344 has passed second reading. Members, you have before you in consideration Senate Bill 363. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 363, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled an act authorizing corrections officers to detain persons on the property of adult or juvenile state correctional facilities in certain situations, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of this committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 363. What is your pleasure, Senator Usher?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 363, that I recommend the same do pass.
Senator Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. This the title pretty much says everything, except I'll explain what those, if you go down to line 21 on page 1, the only page. Those sections that it talks about, it gives correctional officers arrest, detain power just for aiding, abetting, and escape, leaving or transferring illegal contraband or criminal trespass. So what they are authorized to do today is nothing. All they can do is call the local sheriff. And if you think of where Deer Lodge is, local sheriff may not be available for an hour, and somebody just left contraband and now they're getting away because our correctional officers are not allowed to detain them until the sheriff shows up. So this just allows them to hold them until the sheriff shows up, and then the sheriff does the arrest paperwork and takes it through the court system. Please go green.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Usher, do you care to wish? The senator has closed. The question now arises in a motion to Senator Usher that when this committee does rise and report after having an consideration, Senate Bill 363, that it recommends you pass. As the many in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
47 senators have voted aye, 3 have voted no. This Senate Bill 344 has passed second reading. Members, you have before you in consideration Senate Joint Resolution 10. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 10, introduced by Cuff, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana expressing support of hydropower and the Federal Columbia River Power System and opposing the breach of the lower Snake River dams.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Joint Resolution 10. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 10, that the same be concurred in. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cuff.
Mr. Chairman, I bring this bill, well, I'll say both, on behalf of myself, as well as, but primarily on behalf of the co-ops, the Montana cooperatives that produce a lot of electricity service around to us. Other power companies as well. Now, the importance of hydropower, especially to Western Montana co-ops, cannot be overestimated. With the 428 megawatts produced behind Hungry Horse Dam, have rate of access for us in Western Montana. This bill is actually about the dams on the Snake River and the proposed breaching of the dams on the Snake River. The issue has come up. It has been pushed in Congress. There has been various studies proposed by Northwest Power Planning Conservation Commission, which has positioned against it. And the cooperatives are extremely concerned. They're hoping for a very strong vote from this body to oppose the breaching of the dams on the Snake River. Thank you, Mr. President. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the body, I just wanted to tell you that there is a rest to the story to this particular measure, and there may be some of us voting against this measure, and I wanted to tell you why. Representative Mike Simpson, a Republican from Idaho, has started a conversation about dealing with a lot of the endangered species, salmon as well as steelhead, in Idaho. As part of that conversation, there has been a discussion, or the beginnings of a discussion, I should say, about removing four lower Snake River dams. These dams provide about 5% of the power. The proposal that they're discussing right now indicates that before any dams are removed, that the power has to be replaced and connected. It just can't be, the dams just can't be taken out and there be a whim or a hope that the power gets replaced. That actually has to happen. And for those of you who do energy stuff, it has to be firm, clean power replacement. All Idaho's salmon and steelhead are listed as threatened or endangered. One of the culprits or one of the reasons for that are the Lower Snake River dams. Currently, they've spent over $17 billion trying to make sure these fish don't go extinct. And so I look at this as someone trying to be more fiscally responsible. They are trying to save endangered species, but they're also trying to figure out solutions that are really important for not only the fish species, but also our energy consumption. So I just wanted you to understand why some of us may be voting no. Thank you.
Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a vital and strong yes vote on this particular measure and resolution. The argument made by those across the aisle toward those who would tear these dams down is an immoral argument in itself, because what they're arguing is that the power, electricity, energy to supply human beings with the energy that they need at a reliable and energy, by the way, very, very environmentally friendly method. There's no cleaner energy than hydropower, really. And it's immoral to claim that the people that are served by the electricity from these dams should suffer a decreasing standard of living by increased energy costs by their destruction. The idea that these dams now are somehow threatening the fish that have been successful, these dams have been there for several decades, and the fish have survived. They will continue to survive, and the people are increasingly in need of more energy, And so I urge a green vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any more discussion? Seeing none, Senator Cuff, do you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to close. I appreciate the words from across the aisle. Yes, I too have concern. And, you know, billions of dollars have been invested in salmon and steelhead recovery at the dams, and they appear to be working. Juvenile salmon production and survival has improved greatly, and carefully engineered fish ladders and turbine bypass systems have helped juvenile salmon survive at a rate between 93 and 99% past the dam. And I guess if we want to name drop folks in Washington, D.C., I've been told by the cooperative systems that the U.S. Senator, carrying the same party label as the folks across the aisle, has been active in encouraging the same position as I'm presenting here. And he has reached out, in fact, to senators in Washington State to slow up in the efforts and consider the whole picture. You know, our region is working through a challenging time as we balance the increasing demand for electricity with the decreasing supply of baseload power generation. Even some of the folks in Washington State are realizing this. They have for years talked about their pure carbon-free electricity coming from hydro generation, much of which comes out of Montana and also from Idaho. There's something like 2,600 megawatts of electricity coming down through the Snake River Dam. So, anyway, with that, Mr. Chairman, it's important for this legislature to take a stand on this issue and express its opposition to breaching the lower Snake River dams and the critical power they deliver to Western Montana. I hope that you will give me a green vote on this Senate Joint Resolution 10.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when this committee does rise in support after having under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 10, it recommends same do pass. As many in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed say no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 43 senators vote aye and 7 senators vote nay.
43 senators have voted aye, 7 have voted no. Senate Joint Resolution 10 has passed second reading. Members, you have in front of you, before you, under consideration of Senate Resolution 3. Senator Heimbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the nominations transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 3.
Are there any corrections to the title of the history as the bill is read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Do you want me to go ahead and run this through first?
Senator.
Whereas the governor of the state of Montana has made the appointments that have been submitted to the Senate by the governor as members of the Fish and Wildlife Commission, there's four of them that were appointed: Susan Brooks from Bozeman, Jeff Burrows from Hamilton, Bill Lane from Ismay, Leslie Robinson from Dodson. They were all at our committee the other day, and we heard from them all. We questioned them all. They're all good business people and good. They have a firm understanding of hunting and recreation, and I think they'll be great commissioners. So I would say vote yes.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Heimbaugh, do you wish to close? Oh, Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I approve of this resolution. I'd like to comment a little bit about Leslie Robinson from Dodson, Montana. I've known Leslie most of her life. She's been a county commissioner. She served at the same time as Senator Temple from Phillips County. She's been the president or the chairman of the National Association of County Commissioners. So, she lives on a ranch. She can ride a horse. She can rope a calf. She has land, her and her husband, that is federal land, state land, private land, and been involved with agriculture all of her life. She has probably elk, coyotes, deer, antelope, geese, ducks, whatever wildlife we have on her ranch. I think she's a very capable person. Last term of on the commission, she was chairman of the Montana Fish and Game Commission. I think Leslie would be very good, and I endorse her for this position. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have no idea who the first three people are. I'm sure they're fine people. My umbrage would be, and my cohort from Malta and I might disagree on her a little bit on one or two issues. And I don't mean to argue a separate issue. It's the only one I know about because I normally don't attend Fish and Game Commission meetings at any level. We, four people, went before a federal judge because we were suing the state of Montana on the ability of disabled people to use a crossbow. The judge asked why the commission hadn't acted. The answer was, we can't act in time to let them hunt, so we want an injunction. He said, why not? And the answer was, the commission won't meet for 2 months. Injunction denied. Two weeks later, in a pre-dawn meeting, that's important, pre-dawn, they met in an out-of-cycle session to grant the extra bull tags that we had appropriated from the previous session to the Wilkes brothers and others. How can a commission, the chair, not know that their attorneys had said they could not meet to a federal judge when plainly they could and did and bragged about being exactly inside the limit for public meeting to limit public comment because one had to catch a plane? That does not lead me to believe that the leadership is in the direction I would like to go, which is open and honest. After that, quite possibly, according to the commissioners, the hottest issue ever before the commission was the commission wanted to do away with permits and make them licenses so that non-residents could buy a license and get into the high trophy areas. It was in her leadership that that was brought to the brink. The resident hunters of Montana deserve somebody that respects the primacy of residents to have a good time in their own outdoors and not try to sell it. Last time when we did a vote for a director, there was one red light up there. I think I've been validated. If I'm the only red light this time, I've already been validated.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Heimbaugh, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Chair, I would like to close, and I would just say that I'm going to vote different than my senator in front of me, so I'd like to have you vote with me.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Heimbaugh that when this committee does rise report after having it under consideration, Senate Resolution 3, that it recommends same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record their vote.
Mr. Chairman, 36 senators vote aye and 14 senators vote nay.
36 have voted aye, 14 have voted no. Senate Resolution number 3 has passed second reading. Committee members, you now have before you in front of you for consideration House Bill 167. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 167, introduced by Cohenour by request of the Legislative Council, a bill for an act entitled an act providing that exempt staff for legislative leadership may use public time, facilities, equipment, supplies, personnel, or funds to support non-election political caucus activity regarding legislative business, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read sections.
1 through 2.
Members of this committee, now before you, House Bill 167. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Mr. Chairman, I move that this committee does write a report after having under consideration House Bill 167 that it recommends the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Fellow senators, if you could, if you'll just read the title of this bill, exempt staff for legislative leadership for may use public time, facilities, equipment, supplies, personnel, or funds to support non-election political caucus activities. This comes from the Legislative Council. That's what it does. It's for every party that belongs to this legislature, and I please have a green light.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Motion. Seeing none, Senator Lang, would you care to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises as the motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise report after 100 consideration, House Bill 167, it do recommend be concurred. Many are in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Those opposed say no. Has every member voted? Senator Fitzpatrick. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators have voted aye. House Bill 167 has been concurred in second reading. Committee, you have before you Senate Bill 311. Are we going to go even further down? So 295, okay. Excuse me. Members, you have before you under consideration Senate Bill 295. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 295, introduced by Gillespie and others. A bill for an act entitled Act Revising Laws Related to the Regulation of Grizzly Bears on Delisting, allowing the Fish and Wildlife Commission of the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to adopt rules on the delisting of grizzly bears to allow livestock owners to take grizzly bears attacking or killing livestock and to establish a quota allowing livestock owners to make a complaint to the Director of the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks about grizzly bears threatening livestock, providing rulemaking authority, providing a definition, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill is read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read sections.
1 through 2.
Members of this committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 295. What is your pleasure, Senator Gillespie?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 295, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Gillespie.
Yeah. Okay. A grizzly bear bill. We'll move it right along here. But what this is a step along the way. We've had 48 years going on now since they were on the put on the endangered species list. And with great success, we've increased the numbers. I think the goal used to be like maybe 300 bears total was supposed to be the goal way back when. Well, that was 48 years ago. And since we do have a lot of them, they're in places they've never been for probably 100 years. And so it's probably time to move to the next step. And we are in a partnership with, if you want to call it that, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And we're also talking with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services are on board to move this to the next level and into the next step. So with that, I'll stop for the moment. And I think we have an amendment coming up.
Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend Senate Bill 295 with Amendment SB 295-002-001, signed Senator Gillespie.
What is your pleasure, Senator Gillespie?
Okay, Mr. Chair, I remember that Senate Bill 295 be amended and request that the amendment number 0.002.001 be posted and deemed read.
Senator Gillespie.
Mr. Mr. Chair, what this is one little tiny deal, and you've got a on your. They just handed this out here not very long ago, but on the first page, what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife would like so they can get on with the delisting process is a couple little changes that says on line 11 on page 1, it says prior to the delisting of grizzly bears. They wanted that to be ahead of it, and then they'll work with us from there. And it's the same thing over on the second page, prior to delisting instead of upon listing. So real simple deals. This was, I don't know whether it was a deal breaker with them, but that was the one thing that they said we could improve on a little bit. I found that very, very heartening. That was wonderful that we're that close to each other. So this will kind of close the gap there.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, Senator Gillespie, would you care to close on your amendment? Senator has closed on his amendment. The question now arises: the amendment of Senator Gillespie that Senate Bill 295 be amended. As many as are in favor of the motion, say aye. Those opposed, say no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 44 senators vote aye and 6 senators vote nay.
44 senators aye, 6 no, 6 nay. The amendment has passed. Are there any further amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gillespie, would you care to move your bill as amended?
Yes, we do. I'll just add a little bit here that that just kind of completes the process so we can move this along, get it in sync with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services so that they can begin the delisting process. And a real important thing to remember here, this is still a 6-year deal. Nothing's going to happen completely until after 6 years. There's 1 year, kind of, I don't know whether you call it a probationary period, but it's just so that everybody can come together, same language, same ideas, same goals between our Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife people. So to me, that's a real positive step forward, and I can't wait to see it happen. So with that, I'll stand for questions if there are any.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Gillespie, do you care to close? Senator closes. The question now arises on a motion of Senator Gillespie that when this committee does rise and report after having it in consideration, Senate Bill 295 is recommended do pass. As many in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 37 senators vote aye and 13 senators vote nay.
37 senators aye, 13 no. Senate Bill 295 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you, for your consideration, Senate Bill 311. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 311, introduced by Usher and others, a bill for an act entitled an act reducing the number of associate justices on the Supreme Court, providing for the accomplishment of the reduction, providing for contingent voidness, amendment section, and providing effective dates and a termination date.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
1 through 9.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 311. What is your pleasure, Senator Usher?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 311, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, body, for giving me another opportunity. I did quite a bit of research over the last 2 days. Most of mine came from the National Center for State Courts, their court statistic project, and the Conference of State Administrators. And then also, you can go onto our own Montana courts. You can Google that, and it pops up with our courts. Anyway, I did go. There was a couple of things that I really wanted to bring to light, but most of the data that I was looking at and the graphs were all in color, and I don't have access to color printers, and when I tried to print it out black and white, you couldn't read it. So some of them I'm just going to have to explain. The number one thing that was asked the other day from some of the proponents or opponents was that there's a appellate court in at least one of the surrounding states that I use as an example. And actually, when you look at the National Center for State Courts, you can bring up every state, and it'll show you what model of courts it has. I call what we have is a three-tier. You know, we have the local, municipal, and city. They're all just down here, and then you got a district court, and then you got a Supreme Court. Well, when I looked at our surrounding states, Idaho, North Dakota, Wyoming, and South Dakota, they were all the same as us, except for Idaho. I believe the Court of Appeals only took criminal cases, I guess, to do a full case, was kind of what I learned. But the biggest difference was in Montana, not only did we have the district court, but in parallel to the district court, we were the only one that actually had water court, workman's comp court, had a whole bunch of other courts at that district court level, which, talking to others, that may be why we're not getting as many cases up to the Supreme Court, because we have more cases at that middle level, or more courts, more different types of courts. Then I want to try and confirm more data on statistically why did they increase the courts back in 79. So I looked that up, and back in 79 they had an 80 some jump in cases, the average 5 years before 1979 when they increased it. So they saw this big increase, 80 some percent, and decided, well, I guess we need more judges. Ironically, though, if you look in recent years, in the last 10 years, the average for that would be 2012 to 16 is approximately, what is that? It's in the upper 800s for cases. But then you go the last 5 years and it's actually down in the upper 500s. So it's gone down in the last 5 years out of the last 10 years. Kind of interesting, but that's one of the reasons why I brought this bill. Anyway, I have most of that data if anybody wants copies, or I can show you where to go. It's just, like I said, couldn't print most of that out because it's in color and I don't have access to color. I will stand for questions, and hopefully we can have a good discussion.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Mongeau.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the body. So I did go and do some research on this particular issue as well, because I was just interested to see what type of intermediary courts some of those other states had that were similar to Montana. I think North Dakota, Wyoming, South Dakota, Idaho all came up. I think I had mentioned that there's 10 states out in the United States that didn't have that intermediary court. And so I went and researched it a little bit more just to make sure I was getting things as accurate as I possibly could. And when I found the states that didn't have that intermediary court, similar to Montana, outside of the district court level, states like Delaware, Rhode Island, North Dakota, South Dakota, Vermont, and Wyoming, were some of the states that I identified. And the big difference between those states and Montana was that Montana had 700 filings and appeals this past year, as compared to Wyoming, which had 258. I believe that was in 2021. Vermont, which had 295. South Dakota, 330. Rhode Island, 343. New Hampshire, which was a little bit different, but it had 501, did have a superior court that some stuff went to. Delaware had 438. And so you can see that there is a reason why we have more judges, just as the good senator just mentioned, that we had this uptick in cases. And at that time, they made a decision based on our Constitution to raise that number from 4 to 6 associate judges, and including that chief judge. So we now have that 7 number, with the tiebreaker being, of course, that 7th judge. So, you know, when you look at the data and you compare, you know, we're comparing apples to oranges. Even when we look at states that are similar or similarly situated with the judge structure as we do in Montana, Montana still, along with all the filings and appeals, far exceeds the number of cases, which in its own right is a reason why we should resist this bill and keep things the way they are.
Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the Majority Leader yield to a question?
Would the Majority Leader yield to a question?
You sure?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Majority Leader, does the Montana Supreme Court always sit in bank, or do they sometimes sit where they have less than 7 members sitting?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fuller, they, as I understand it, they usually, when the case comes in, they assign them to a 5-judge panel, and they, when they do an initial conference, if they can get 4 people, which would be a majority of 7, then they'll decide it with a 5-judge panel. If they are unable in that 5-judge panel to come up with what would be a majority of 4 or more, then they go to the full 7. But for the most part, things are decided in 5-judge panels, which I do believe actually increases the volume of cases that they're able to handle.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. There you go. They get the job done with 5.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I sat through this hearing, and I voted for this to come out of committee. I thought something that was very interesting that came up in testimony is, can't remember who said it, but apparently the Chief Justice at the time when we increased the number from 5 to five to 7 justices. When we increased it at the time, the Chief Justice came in and advocated for that increase. And I thought what was very telling of whether the Supreme Court actually needs these justices or not is the fact that they didn't say anything one way or the other on this issue. We had a Supreme Court justice come in on a relatively innocuous court bill at the beginning of the session. And I would think that if this was an issue with them being able to handle their caseload, that they would be able to, voice their advocacy for that, or their opposition to removing justices from the court. So I thought that was an interesting point, that they have no opinion one way or the other. Thank you.
Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we spoke about reconsidering this bill, I told you that I'd tell you about the fiscal note. So I think that this is a good thing, because when this is fully built out, it's going to save us $420,000 annually. So that's a good chunk of change. Vote green.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Rush, would you care to close on your bill?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the good conversation. I appreciate the research that the senator did from across the aisle. The problem is, and I didn't harp too much on what he discussed, is because I found several different places where our courts actually report numbers. And for instance, in 2021, I had a number of 502 cases on one place. And this is supposedly our courts reporting to these national organizations. And another place the same year, there was 662. And I, deeply tried to look to see if there was, this is only this type of case. No, it was, here's all the cases, because It was all listed. Also, like I said, most of the appeal courts I was able to find, most of them kind of do criminal retrying cases, not just like our Supreme Court actually reading briefs and the such. So I found that much different, and it's not really apples to apples. It's kind of apples to oranges. There is actually also the legal review note, and actually I explained that the other day, but I'll explain it again. In my bill, there is a contingent voidness, depending on if the first option, which is the next two election cycles, if the Supreme Court doesn't like that because of the uneven amount of justices and chief justice on the Supreme Court, then they can take, then we will take in the second part of the bill. And I guess the last two little things is there's another marker that tells you how much work they're doing. And it talks about published and versus non-published cases. So for direct appeals in 2020, the court issued 148 published opinions compared to 179 non-published opinions. I'm not sure I understand that, but that shows that really that's only, 350 cases or something like that. But based on what they're reporting, where's the real number? The court also issued fewer opinions in 2022, which was only 280 combined between published and non-published, which is the lowest since the clerk of the court's began piling statistics in 2011. So, and I can tell you also, if you've ever been over to the building where they work, which I've been over there a couple times for during the day, during the week, see how many of them actually are there at any given time. It'd be interesting to actually see how many of them are actually working the full 40 hours, because they really have most of their staff do most of their writings for them. So I suggest if you're interested, go over for a day and see how many of their cars are in the parking lot. Go green, please.
The question now arises to the motion of Senator Usher that when the committee does rise report after having under consideration Senate Bill 311 that the same do recommend do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, voting no. Has every member voted? Does anybody? Senator McGillery, Senator Brown. Has everybody voted? Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 24 senators vote aye and 26 senators vote nay.
24 senators voting aye, 26 voting nay. The Senate Bill 311 has not passed second reading.
Mr. Chairman, I move we definitely postpone Senate Bill 311.
You've heard the motion of the Senate Majority Leader. All in favor say aye. Go to the board. The rest say nay. Has every member voted? Does anyone wish to change his or her vote? Senator Ellsworth. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 35 senators vote aye and 15 senators vote nay.
35 senators have voted aye, 15 have voted nay. The Senate Bill 311 has been tabled.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion from the Majority Leader. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Say nay. We passed.
Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate bills passed. Senate Bill 150, 255, 300, 320, 321, 342, 344, 363. Senate Joint Resolution passed. Senate Joint Resolution 10. Senate bills passed As amended, Senate Bills 203, 286, and 295. Senate Joint Resolution adopted, House Joint Resolution 3. Senate Bills indefinitely postponed, Senate Bills 299 and 311. House Bill concurred in, House Bill 167.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the report of the Committee of the Whole be adopted as read.
You've heard the motion of Senator Friedel that the Committee of the Whole report be adopted. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members having voted yes, the Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Friedel.
That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will go to order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 72, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled Revised Judicial Administration of Water Rights.
Senate Bill 72, having been read through three several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 30 have voted yes, 20 have voted no.
30 senators haven't voted yes, 20 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 72 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 213, introduced by McClafferty, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Related to School Safety Teams.
Senate Bill 213, I haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Molnar? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted yes. Senate Bill 213 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 245, introduced by Zolnikoff, a bill for an act entitled Revised Municipal Zoning to Allow Multifamily and Mixed-Use Development.
Senate Bill 245, having been read through three several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the vote will signify by voting yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 40 have voted yes, 10 have voted no.
40 senators haven't voted yes, 10 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 245 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 264, introduced by Regeer, a bill for an act entitled Revised Airport All Beverage License Laws.
Senate Bill 264, having been read through three several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Olson? Does any member wish changes or vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 4 have voted no.
46 senators haven't voted yes, 4 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 264 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 269, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled Establish Consumer Protections and Disclosures in Litigation Financing.
Senate Bill 269 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members haven't voted yes. Senate Bill 269 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 275, introduced by Mandeville, a bill for an act entitled Revised Definition of Proposed Mixing Zone and Well Isolation Zone.
Senate Bill 275, haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? In favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 36 have voted yes. 14 have voted no.
36 senators haven't voted yes. 14 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 275 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 278, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled Authorized Legislative Officer Intervention in Declaratory Judgment Action.
Senate Bill 278 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will signify by voting yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Senator McClafferty. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 34 have voted yes, 16 have voted no.
34 senators haven't voted yes, 16 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 278 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 285, introduced by Glim, a bill for an act entitled Revised Subdivision Sanitation Laws.
Senate Bill 285 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 27 have voted yes, 23 have voted no.
27 senators haven't voted aye, 23 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 285 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 318, introduced by Boldman, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws for Appointment of a Guardian Ad Litem in Youth in Need of Care Case.
Senate Bill 318 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 45 have voted yes, 5 have voted no.
45 senators have voted yes, 5 had voted no. Senate Bill 318 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 229, introduced by Usher, a bill for Nankin entitled Reimburse Counties for Actual Witness Costs.
Senate Bill 229, having been read through three several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 4 have voted no.
46 senators have voted yes, 4 have voted no. Senate Bill 229 has passed the Senate. That objection will go to order business number 9, motions. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 485 by Senator Small, raising hourly rate of legislator compensation, to the Finance and Claims Committee.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 460 by Senator Solomon, revise election administrator laws, to the Finance and Claims Committee.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to re-refer SJ-15 resolution on Marbury versus Madison to the Judiciary Committee.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Friedel.
Mr. President, I'd like to change my vote on Senate Bill 72.
Will this affect
from a yes to a no? This will not change the outcome of the legislation. I apologize, Mr. President.
Okay, there is a basketball that Senator Hertz will get to you. Seeing no other motions, go to order business number 2 again, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we, your Committee on Business and Labor, report that Senate Bill 378 do pass and that Senate Bills 351 and 392 do pass as amended. Mr. President, we, your Committee on Judiciary, report that Senate Bills 294 and 423 do pass and that Senate Bill 333 and 368 do pass as amended. That is all, Mr. President.
Okay, without objection, we'll be on order business number 10.
Mr. President, I move additional co-sponsors to LC 4613. That is all, Mr. President.
Okay, without objection, we'll go to an order business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Breguere.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet Monday. We will meet Monday at 8 o'clock, 10 bills.
Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Claim Monday morning, 9 o'clock, room 317. We will have several bills.
Senator Small.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Business and Labor, 8 a.m. Monday morning, room 422, 8 bills. And if I may, for a purpose of a farewell.
You may.
Pages, would you stand up? We'd like to thank you guys for helping out for the week and hanging out and talking to everybody and learning about the system. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your hardworking State Administration Committee has a load of work to do this afternoon, starting at 3 o'clock. They are not going to get it done. So they're going to come back tomorrow at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we have, I think we're down to 11 bills right now for tomorrow. Two have been moved, but thank you. And then we're going to come back Monday afternoon and hit her another lick. So thank you, Mr. President.
Senator McGilvery.
Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, Public Health will meet immediately after adjournment.
Senator Usher.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I be off the record and out of the journal for announcement?
You may.
Mr. President, just wanted to let everybody know that in Kalispell on Sunday, starting, I believe, at 1 o'clock, the Logan Health Community Center, there will be a fundraiser for Trooper Johnson, who is the trooper that got run over last week. And I know there's a bunch of people going, so I'm sure if you need a ride or want a carpool, let somebody know, and maybe you can jump in.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Education, probably as soon as we get there. Thank you.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 10 minutes after floor session, Senate Natural Resources, 3 bills and some executive action.
Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your barely working Tax Committee will not meet on Monday.
And Mr. Chair, may I be off the record now of the journal for a donation announcement?
You may.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, you did an excellent job today. Thanks to Senator Friedel changing his vote, we hit $400 even. That's $8 a seat. So.
Don't forget about the majority leader. Need to collect that. Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. President. My inspirationally awesome local government is going on their second half today to do a lot of bill reading and a lot of EA. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. President. Monday morning, 11 o'clock, room 335, Senate Legislative Administration. Three bills. Thank you. Please be there.
Senator Bolin.
Thank you. Mr. President, I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
You may.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of the body, I know it's been a long floor calendar, but we have such a dear, dear family friend here at Vithanese today. I want to introduce you to the pride of Glasgow, Montana, Jerry Kolstad. I got to tell you a quick thing. Jerry is one of the most successful entrepreneurs, self-made, partner with my husband in several businesses, largest angel investor in, or fund in Montana history. But when he was growing up in Glasgow, his first interview, his mom sewed him a homemade suit to his first corporate interview. And he stood out like a sore thumb, and he got the job anyway. So welcome. And his friend and mine, Zita Strumhofer, who's a heck of a lot of fun at Grizz games. So welcome.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Bogner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise for a general announcement. So can I be off the record and out of the journal for an announcement?
You may.
Mr. President, members of the body, all day Monday in the Rotunda, there will be an open exhibit of charter schools. There will be schools from the surrounding states, and they encourage you all to come down and ask questions. So use the weekend to think of any that you have, and see you there. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 o'clock on February 27th, 2023, the 41st Legislative Day.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Leader. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. Senate stand adjourned until Monday, 1 o'clock.